Praise the Lord. I have a whole intro that I'm ready to do, and I just am not ready to do that yet. man. Thank you, worship team. Ooh. I don't know what God's doing in your heart, but maybe we just need to take a second. It's really amazing to me how music can speak to our hearts in very specific ways, and sometimes it brings up memories. As we were singing How Great Thou Art, the last time I heard that song, I was sitting at my dad's funeral service, and so it just brought that back. And then that last song, we went through a really dark time with our daughter about a year and a half ago. And God used that just to remind us to speak Jesus for our family. And to be grateful even in times of difficulty, to know He is at work. And the name of Jesus has power as He is working in our lives. So this is not where we're going with the sermon this morning, but it wasn't fair that y'all did that right before I had to get up here. So I don't know what God's doing in your heart this morning, but I think maybe if we could just take a moment and pray and ask Him to continue working in our hearts and remind us, no matter what circumstances are going on in your life right now, the name of Jesus. Jesus is on the throne. He is the Lamb who laid down His life, shed His blood for you and I, that no matter what circumstances we face in this life, we know that we have hope because we're going to be with Him for all of eternity, not because of what we've done, but because of what He has done on our behalf. And so can we just take a moment and pray and ask God to be at work in our hearts and remind us that to remove the distractions of whatever circumstances might be going on and to speak the name of Jesus into those circumstances. Heavenly Father, God, we come before You right now. Lord, this is not what we have planned, but Lord, You are at work in our hearts. And so, Lord, I just thank You for Jesus. Lord, I thank You for sending Your Son to die so that we have hope. We have hope in the resurrection when we lose those that we love. We have hope when storms come through. And Lord, we can speak the name of Jesus into those who are hurting right now because of the storm that came through this past week. Lord, but there are also personal storms that go on in our lives. And we have family issues that hurt. And there are things that we deal with, Lord. And Lord, I just want to thank You that we can come to You. I want to thank You, Lord, that the name of Jesus is powerful. And no matter what we face in this life, our hope and our future is with You because of Jesus. So, Lord, no matter what else we do and say in this service, may it bring honor and glory to You. May the name of Jesus be exalted in this place. Lord, be glorified among us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank y'all for letting me get all that out. I want to tell you a little history lesson, and this is going to tie into where we're going to be in God's Word this morning. As you know, I get the privilege of serving our Association of Churches as your association mission strategist. I get the opportunity to not only interact with you guys on a fairly regular basis, but I also have the privilege of working with our other 45, 46, depending on when we can find them, 47 churches. And so I am so grateful for that privilege. About 10 years ago, we were in a situation as an association of churches where things looked fairly bleak. We were in a pretty rough financial situation, and I was pastoring in another church in the association at the time, and we were having conversations about whether or not we would be able to, not whether we should continue on, but whether we would be able to financially continue on as a network of churches, or if we just needed to shut down and try something new. And as we were having those conversations, the Lord really began working in my heart to bring me in what ended up leading me into this role. Those conversations were what God used to end up bringing me to a place where I get the opportunity to serve this Association of Churches. But in the midst of that, the reason I'm going back all of those 10 years is because in the midst of that, You as a church family did something that no other church did in being in making it able for us to survive. When we did not have a place to have an office space, you guys opened up the New Life building and invited us in to have our office space there. And it was a provision of God's blessing and grace at a time where we as an association of churches really, really needed it. And so I praise God for that moment in our history. You guys played a huge pivotal role in us being able to do all that we're doing now as an association of churches. It all ties back to that moment when we were able to find a place to gather together, to have office space. You guys provided that. And then when A Gift of Love needed some space, you guys freely gave away the office space we had. Just kidding. But instead provided us with even better office space. And for the past, I think it's been 5 years, we've had the privilege of housing our offices downstairs right below this room. And what I want to say to you for that is thank you. It has been a blessing from God. We have been able to do so much as a network of churches because of your faithfulness, your generosity, and I want you to know that. I want to express my gratitude. Now, in October of this past year, Doss Memorial, one of our churches, voted to close down. And in so doing, they gave us their building. And so we began praying amongst our leadership team, what's the best way to utilize this space? We knew that we wanted to utilize it, continue to utilize it as a church building, to have church plants meet there. In fact, tonight, there is a preview service for a Spanish-speaking church plant in our building there. It's so exciting what God is doing in that. But there's more than just the sanctuary space in that building. There was a whole education wing. And in praying about what we were going to do with it, in sort of an offhanded conversation, the question was raised, should we look at this as office space? And so I just began to run the numbers just to see. And ultimately, it came down to what would it look like for us to be the best steward of the building that God has given to us completely free? And what ended up being allowing us to be the best steward of the resources that come in and the building that we have was for us to move our office space over there. So I want to say that to tell you, the reason we moved our office over there was because we want to be the best steward of the resources that are coming in so that we can get as much of those resources out to minister to this community and reach this community with the name of Jesus. So I say all of that to say I'm really sad that our office is not in this building anymore. I miss you guys stopping by and saying hi. But here's the address, 4500 Doss Circle, Powder Springs. Come by. You can come by my office anytime, okay? So you may have to drive a little bit further than you would here, but I would love to see you. So you're still welcome to come by my office anytime, all right? But that's why we have moved. Now, why did I tell you all of that? Well, it was really to say what I said just a moment ago. From the bottom of my heart and on behalf of all of the other churches of our association, thank you. Thank you. Listen to how the Apostle Paul expressed a similar feeling to the people of the church of Philippi. In Philippians 1, verses 1 through 11, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Let's take a moment and thank God for His Word. Heavenly Father, God, we come before You again, Lord, just so thankful for Your Word, thankful for the opportunity to study it together. Lord, would You speak to us now and cause our hearts to be filled with gratitude. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I think that in the context of the church and in the context of Christian ministry in general, even in the Christian life, I think one of the biggest things that is truly missing is gratitude. We spend a lot of time talking about strategy, as we should. You guys have probably spent, the transition team has probably spent a great deal of time talking about strategy and thinking about the future. That's all things that we should do. But if we do that outside of the context of gratitude for what God has done and what He has promised He will do, we're kind of missing the mark. And in the Christian life, we can study our Bibles, we can read, we can pray, we can do all the things we're supposed to do, we can be at church every Sunday, we can do all of the things that we're told we're supposed to do. But if our hearts are not filled with gratitude, that essence of knowing that I'm not here by myself, I didn't get myself here. It is the work of God who has brought me to this place. It's the work of God that saved me. It's the work of God that is sanctifying me and growing me into the image of His Son. If I don't recognize that and express my gratitude, we'll get into this, but it kind of gets us into the 1 Corinthians 13 of lacking love and being a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. I'm making a lot of noise and not really doing anything. So what does Paul tell us? Well, as he's talking to the church of Philippi, the first thing he says, in thinking about gratitude in the mission, is he says, I thank God for the church. I thank God for the church. This is where it is. When God designed this, when God designed salvation, and when He redeemed His people, He redeemed them into the local church. The association, not the local church. We're just a network of local churches. But the bride of Christ is called the church. And so when we think about what is important in our Christian life and what is important, the church is the base level of what we're doing. This is what God sent His Son to redeem, this gathering of people who believe in and speak the name of Jesus. And so at the core of who we are, both from a network perspective, like that I'm kind of coming at it from, but also as individuals, we thank God for His church. Amen. Missions begins in thanksgiving. If we're not thankful to Christ for His bride, then how are we going to be involved in wanting to invite others to be a part of what God is doing here? If I'm not thankful for what God is doing in and through His body, the church, then how can I really truly be excited about inviting others to join in that? And so if we want our hearts to be focused on missions, then our hearts first need to be focused on gratitude. We need to be thankful. Paul says he thanks God in every prayer for the church at Philippi. Every time he comes before the Father, he is thankful for the church. I love the fact that as we were beginning our time together, the slide at the beginning says ways to pray for the church, and there's a list of ways. We need to be praying for the church. And might I suggest you add at the beginning, at the top of that list, thank God for this church. Like, our prayers shouldn't just be, Lord, I want to, we need a new pastor, and Lord, we need this, and Lord, bless our transition team, and all. It should be all of those things, but it should begin with, God, thank You for gathering this group of people together in this place for this time. Because that is the work of God, and I am thankful that He gathered you together in this place for this time. Because in so doing, He blessed 46 other churches. Isn't that incredible? Do you ever think about the fact that God used you to be a blessing in thousands of lives across these three counties because of your faithfulness? I thank God for that. But it's not just about those big picture things. There are also things that every one of us deal with, and at various times the church has been the place where we've gone and shared those hurts and shared those feelings and cried together and wept together. They've also been those places where God has blessed us and we rejoice together and rejoice with those who are rejoicing. And so when you thank God for the church, are you thanking God for those things too? We're oftentimes like the people of Israel. They saw God part the waters of the Red Sea, and they walked through on dry land, and 3 days later they were complaining about no food. We see God do amazing things in us and through us all the time, and 3 days later we're like, woe is me. Gratitude. I'm thankful for the church. Number two, I'm thankful for partnership and kingdom work. Paul says, I remember you in every prayer of mine. I thank God for you, for your partnership from the first day until now. It's an ongoing partnership, and he says we're to be thankful for that. It's we're to be thankful for our ongoing partnership. And listen, in your small group, in your Sunday school class, you've got a group of people that you gather with on a weekly basis that you're closer to them than anybody else in the church because you spend more time with them and you get those relationships built together where you can be thankful for those who are sharing life with you. So be thankful for that partnership in the kingdom work, but also be thankful that God has allowed you to partner with groups like A Gift of Love and through our association of churches, that there is partnership in the gospel so that what's happening, and not just here, but the statewide and nationally and internationally, your investment in partnership is allowing the gospel to go out around the world, even if you don't leave Lithia Springs. And so be thankful for partnership. And thankful for that kingdom work that's going on and that you get to be a part of that. Paul is writing as one sent out. The people are still in Philippi, but he's telling them, you're a partner in my ministry. So it doesn't matter if my office is here or in Powder Springs or somewhere else. You're a partner in the ministry. Because the association is not a thing. The association is merely made up of the relationships of our churches together. And without that partnership, we are nothing. So we thank God for partnership. That word partnership in the Greek, it can literally be translated fellowship or participation. There's that shared intimacy of partnership. It's knowing we have the same goals and are at work together for the same reason. So we are thankful because we have a shared partnership. We have a shared mission. We have a shared reason for why we associate together. Jesus reminded his disciples as he was getting ready to depart from them after he had been raised from the dead. He came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." The very nature of who we are as partners in the gospel ministry is focused on what Jesus told us to do, make disciples of all nations. That's why we partner together. So recognizing if the command is to go and make disciples of all nations, one church can't do that by themselves. But we get the opportunity to partner together. Thank you, God, for creating the idea of network so that individual churches who are meeting in one location can be sister churches with other places so that we can partner together and send missionaries around the world so that the name of Jesus is going into every tongue, tribe, and nation around the world. Partnership allows us to be a part of the global church, the universal church, as we gather together in our individual locations, but are all focused on a singular purpose, that is to glorify God and make disciples of Jesus Christ. The third truth that we find in this passage is that gratitude in our mission breeds love for one another. You know what the fastest way to get irritated with somebody is? Take your mind off the mission. If you take your mind off the mission, you take your mind off of why you're grateful for the church, you take your mind off of what it is we've been called to do, and you begin to put it on somebody else, then you're going to find something wrong with that somebody else. Because every one of us misses the mark. We're all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But what we need to remember is we've all also been justified freely by the grace of God. That's what that next verse says. That comes to us by Jesus Christ. And so if our focus is on one another, in the way that we as humans often focus on one another, then we're going to get irritated and we're going to have disagreements and it's going to get messy. But if we're focused on gratitude because God has brought us together and gathered us together as the people of God, it's going to breed love for one another because we recognize that I can't do this alone. I need the church family. And we're going to recognize that then as a church, we can't do this alone. We need other church families to partner together. I think for too long, we've allowed gratitude to be the missing component in our Christian walk and in how we do church, because what we have seen is evidence of that. Too many times, churches have considered themselves in opposition to each other. Too many times, churches have leaned into territorialism. This is my area. You don't plant a church across the street because I got this taken care of. You go somewhere else. Well, no, there are plenty enough lost people in our area. We could have 3 churches right here, and we still wouldn't reach all of them. Gratitude in our mission breeds love for one another. Paul talks about, as he's thankful to them, verse 7, I hold you in my heart. Verse 8, I yearn for you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Verse 9, it's my prayer that your love may abound more and more. Jesus said in John 13, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. Did you hear that? I've probably said this here before, but it bears repeating. It does not say, by this will all men know that you're my disciples, by the programs that you have in your church. It does not say, by this will all men know that you're my disciples, by the style of worship that you have. It does not say, by this will all men know that you're my disciples, by how many people you have sitting in the seats. It says, by this will all men know that you're my disciples, by your love for one another. Gratitude to God for the church breeds love for one another. Love for one another is the most powerful evangelistic tool that we have. If we want to reach people with the message of the gospel, it must be born out of a heart of gratitude to God for one another, causing us to love one another, and people look at that and say, man, those people sure do act different from the rest of the world. When we think about acting differently from the rest of the world, God's not calling us to be a bunch of weirdos in the way that we often think about weirdos. He's calling us to be a bunch of weirdos because we love each other. And it doesn't matter if there are things that we disagree about. We're all going to have opinions about things that are different from other people's opinions. I could stand up here and start an argument right now if I wanted to about anything. As long as I pick a side, I could make somebody in here mad. I'm not going to do that. Because I'm thankful for you, and because of that, I love you. But you look at our country, and it's divided on everything. You look at the state of the church, and many times we look just like our nation, divided on everything. And what Jesus says here is, the way that the world sees something different in you is by your love for one another. So, this is a little freebie. This is not even on your list, but you can write down if you want to. Stop letting stupid things divide us. And by stupid things, I will go one step further. Politics is stupid. Do you know why? Because as much as we may think it matters who's in the White House, God's on the throne. Amen. That's all I'm going to say. So love one another. Let that be your expression that shows the world who you are and who you belong to. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. Let's be people who not just feel love or speak love, but actually live it, operate in it. And referencing that verse that I shared earlier, Romans 12, 15, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. So what happens, what's the result when we are grateful people? What happens when we show gratitude in our mission? Well, number one, we trust God to do even greater missions work through us. Verse 6, God began the work and will complete the work in and through us. That he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. It's not our strength or power that's at work. We celebrate what God has done, trusting him to finish the work that he's already started. Paul writes at the end of chapter 3 of Ephesians, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I think so many times in church life, we get ideas about how we think things should be. And this is where that whole strategy idea comes in, where we get this idea in our mind, this is how it should be. But we've got to realize that our minds are finite, and what my idea is may not match the grandeur, probably doesn't match the grandeur of God's plan. And so it's always right to bring our ideas to the table. We bring them humbly and prayerfully before the God who sits on the throne, the one who can do abundantly more than we could even ask or even imagine. I'll side note and tell y'all another story. 3 years ago, one of our churches called. They were down to about 5 people, and they just weren't sure what to do. They were without a pastor, couldn't find a pastor. And so in my mind, I'm like, well, Lord, you're inviting me in to help them shut this thing down. And so that was kind of the mindset I had going in. I didn't tell them that because you don't want to hurt people's feelings. But that was just kind of the mindset I went in with. And so, but over the course of several months, Marty, who was my church planting catalyst at the time, was there and too. And so he preached a good bit. I preached some. And we kind of shared some responsibilities with them, just kind of helping love them through what we thought was going to be the end of their time. Well, we kept hearing about this lady, Miss Pat, who was at home. She was homebound and unable to come to church anymore. She was on the prayer list every week, and so we kept praying for Miss Pat. And so about 6 months after we were there, we were continuing to have conversations. We had talked about potentially merging them with another church, and but nothing was coming to fruition. It was just, they were not ready to shut down, but there was just not anything happening. And so one day, Miss Pat calls the one deacon who was left there and says, hey, my grandson knows somebody who can come fill in and preach for us one Sunday. Would y'all invite him? And so he was like, sure, you know, Miss Pat asked. And so they did. So they invited this man to come preach. Well, what we didn't know about that story was that Miss Pat's grandson was in jail. And Miss Pat's grandson had just come to faith in Jesus Christ in jail because of the ministry of a man who was like the maintenance worker for the jail, who was also an evangelist and preached some. And he led a Bible study on Thursday nights at the jail. And so that man was the one they invited to come preach that Sunday. And it went well. They really kind of hit it off. And so he agreed to come be their interim and then finally agreed to be their pastor and is faithfully preaching there, serving there. God is adding to their number. It's no longer 5 people. And I just stood back in shock because I was not looking in jails for for the next preacher. I was just assuming I knew what was best. And God said, no, you don't. You have ideas, but I am the one who's at work. And it's not done until I say it's done, which is why we can trust that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it in the day of Christ Jesus. Amen. So we trust God to do greater mission work through us. Number two, we expect to see fruit of God's work in and through us. Verse 10, he says that he's expecting them to be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. And then verse 11, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. So the real evidence of our walk with Christ in our personal lives, the real evidence of gratitude even in our lives, is fruit. It's not our feelings. We can all have a great Sunday experience and then go home and nothing changes. We can have an emotional, you know, kind of high, but then Monday morning you still got to go to work. What we want to see is not just a good feeling on Sunday morning. It's the fruit of righteousness that comes, that's born out of that gratitude in our hearts as God is focusing our attention not on other people, but on Him and on the work He has called us to do, and then being thankful for the partnership that He has given us to do that work. When our focus is there, we're going to begin to see fruit in our walk with Christ. James tells the early church to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And John finishes his discussion on love by when he says, little children, let's not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. That same principle is true in the church. The real evidence of a church that loves Jesus and loves others and is grateful for that partnership is the fruit that is being produced. It's that opportunity and partnership and shared mission of recognizing that we have the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and there are people outside of our doors and around the world who don't know Jesus, and we get to speak the name of Jesus into their lives. Later on in Philippians 3, Paul says, one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. As we think about what it means for us to show gratitude to God for that partnership and then realizing one of the results is we get to see fruit of God's work, it is that we should expect to not just look back and see old fruit, but continue to press on and see the new fruit that He is producing. Listen, we can spend hours thanking God for all that He has done. And sometimes when we do that, we can get lost in nostalgia and wish it was the way it used to be. But I don't know about you, but I can't go back to yesterday. I don't have a time machine. And God doesn't want us to go back to yesterday. What He wants us to see in what He did yesterday was what He did and be grateful for that. Thank Him for what He did, but He's also moving us forward. As hard as I've tried, I can't stop gray hairs coming out of my face. I can't go back to when I had a dark beard. It's just not in the cards for me. But I press on to the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Because He who began a good work in me is going to be faithful to complete it, gray hair or not. Number three, our last thing we can see as we experience gratitude to God for what He has done is that we glorify God in all we do. The result of our gratitude is that we bring glory and honor to God. Paul finishes his statement of thanksgiving by reminding them why we do everything as followers of Christ, to the glory and praise of God. We are thankful, breeding love for one another. We work together, we partner together, we associate together on shared mission to the glory and praise of God. That's why you are here as a church family. It's to the glory and praise of God. You're not here so you get a good feeling on Sunday mornings. That may be a benefit of it, but you're here because you're the people of God gathered together for the purpose of worshiping and glorifying God so that you can go out on shared mission to tell others about what our great God has done. So whether you eat or drink, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Do it all to the glory of God. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and power forever and ever, Peter says at the end of his letter. Did you hear those words? Listen to this again. If anyone speaks, they should do so as if they speak the words of God. As the body of Christ, when we come together, if someone shares a burden with us, we're speaking to them. We need to speak the word of God to them. We need to encourage them and bless them by the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. If what God has called you to do within the body is to serve in a way that nobody else sees, don't do it for your glory. Do it to the glory of God in the strength that He provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. What we are doing as we are gathered together as the body of Christ, and as we partner together with churches around the world, is that we get to share in the kingdom work of taking the name of Jesus out into the world. If you can keep that in your mind, then the first reaction to that is, Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you for letting me be a part of what you're doing. Because that's ultimately what it is. We're on mission with him. If all we were doing was just partnering together with other groups, then we're nothing more than civic organizations who gather once a week to meet, and then we go about our business. That's not what it is. God is about the work of proclaiming the name of Jesus and glorifying himself, and what he has done is invited you and I to be a part of that. And so we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this church family. Thank you, Lord, for partnership both inside and outside of this church family. Lord, for me, thank you for the faithfulness of this church family to provide in ways that no one else did, so that our network of churches together here could be so much stronger today than we ever could have imagined 10 years ago. To the glory and praise of God the Father. Because he is the one who is at work. So, as we wrap up, I just have three missional questions. Number one, am I thanking God for the church? Is that a regular part of your prayer time? Is gratitude to God for his church and for the partnership in the gospel ministry? Number two, am I working for the kingdom? Now, I don't mean, are you serving in a role? Are you on a committee? Are you, serving to keep the nursery sometimes? I'm not asking that. Are you on stage? I'm not asking that. Are you working for the kingdom? What I mean by that is, no matter what job you have been given within the body of Christ, are you doing it with a heart that says, Lord, I want to glorify you? Atar, I'm going to pick on you since I see your face. Like, as you lead the youth, are you doing that because it's a job? Or are you doing that because God gives you the opportunity to be on mission in this particular age group and you get to talk about Jesus in the lives of teenagers? Sheila, I'll switch over to you since I don't want to make Atar too embarrassed. Like, children's ministry, is it because because this is just the job that you have? Or is it because God has given you the opportunity to invest in other leaders, and together y'all get to speak into the lives of children? I pick on both of them because I know where their heart is. I'm not suggesting that your heart is not there. I believe they love the Lord with all their heart and are desirous to see God glorified in both of those ministries. That's what I'm talking about. No matter where you're serving, it's not because you're doing it for First Baptist Lithia Springs, or it's not because you're doing it for yourself. Are you working for the kingdom? Is God on the throne in your life, and you're doing what you do to bring glory and honor to him? Third question, do I love God's people? Is my gratitude in my heart breeding love for the people of God? Only you know the answer to those questions. But my prayer for you, as I thank God for you, is that as you grow in your gratitude to him for what he has done, you will also be growing in your love for one another, so that when the world looks in and sees this family of faith, they say, there's something there that I want to be a part of. In just a minute, I'm going to pray. The band's going to come and we're going to sing, have a time of invitation. If you need to come and pray, and just maybe you should need to come and pray and say, God, thank you for your church. Maybe you need to be right where you are and pray and say, God, thank you for your church. Maybe you're here today and you say, man, this sounds great. I want to be a part of a people who love one another and are grateful to God for what he's doing. And you want to begin your journey with this family of faith. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know what? I've heard all of this and this all sounds good, but I don't know that I know Jesus. Well, all of this hinges on our relationship with Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that every one of us is sinners. Every one of us is deserving of the wrath of God. But in his great mercy, instead of pouring out his wrath on us who deserved it, God sent his son. And He died on the cross whereby God poured out his wrath upon his son that we deserved. He took our punishment upon himself. And in its place, he gives us his righteousness. And the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Maybe you're here today and you've never trusted in Jesus Christ. Maybe you've been living your life trying to do good, but you feel like you're never good enough. And the truth is, none of us can ever be good enough, but Jesus has already fulfilled that and offers us freedom from the guilt of sin, forgiveness from our sin, and eternal life. So maybe you're here today and you need Jesus. I'm going to be down front in just a few minutes. I'd love to see you respond to God's word as we wrap up our time together. Let's go before him in prayer. Heavenly Father, God, we come into your presence, Lord, this morning. We're grateful for your word, grateful for your people, grateful for the partnership that we have as the body of Christ. Lord, I don't know what you're doing in the hearts and lives of each person who's here today, but Lord, I pray that above all, that they would grow in their gratitude to you for what you have done and how you are at work. Lord God, I pray that you would be glorified among us as we respond to your word. Lord, I pray that you would, that the name of Jesus would be exalted in this place in whatever way we need to respond to your word. Lord, be glorified among us. Because we know that you who started a good work in us will be faithful to complete it in the day of Christ Jesus. Lord God, move among us as we sing together and respond to your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's stand together as we sing.
For joining us online this morning. We would love to see you next time in person on Sunday mornings at 9:15 a.m. for our Sunday school class and at 10:30 a.m. for our worship service. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time. Ciao!